السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. کنٹینیوئنگ ود دا بیٹل آف قادسیہ. سعد بن ابی وقاص رضی اللہ عنہ گیدرڈ دا مسلم لیڈرز اینڈ کمانڈرز ایٹ دا کمینسمنٹ آف دا فرسٹ ڈے آف بیٹل. ہی سیڈ ٹو دیم, گو اینڈ ٹیل دا ٹروپس وٹ از بیفٹنگ فار دیم ان اے وار. You have a high status among the Arabs as you are their orators, their poets, their opinion makers and commanders. Go to the people, reminding and encouraging them unto warfare. Hence, Qais bin Hubayra al-Asadi, rahimahullah, he said to the people, to the Mujahideen, he is giving them some words, you know, to encourage them. He said, people, praise Allah the Almighty for having guided you and tested you. He will give you more. Praise Allah Ta'ala, Allah will give you more. Remember Allah Ta'ala's bounties and favors and seek to please Him. Either Jannah or war spoils are in front of you. Meaning either you're going to become Shaheed, then you got Jannah. And if you don't get the first prize, which is Jannat, then you will get some war booty in the dunya. Yeah. Behind you is a wasteland, deserts and barren hills. In other words, you don't try to run. Where are you going to go? Rather stay and fight. غالب بن عبداللہ لیسی رحمہ اللہ, he gave a talk. He said, people, praise Allah the Almighty for this test. Ask Him, He will grant you more. Make dua to Him, He will answer you. O men who are ready for battle, what is your excuse today when you are in your forts? So forts here mean you are on your horses, right? And accompanying you are those who do not disobey you, meaning your swords. Sword doesn't disobey. Remember that tomorrow's history will start with you. Ibn Huzail Asadi rahimahullah said, O men, make your swords your forts. Be like jungle lions. Pounce like panthers. And let the dust you kick up be your armor. Armor must be the dust around you. You must be moving so much that the dust around you must be like your armor. Put your trust in Allah Ta'ala and do not look at impermissible things. When your swords become blunt, throw rocks at them. In other words, don't stop fighting. Use whatever you have to fight the enemy. Because rocks can do what steel cannot do. Steel can cut, rocks can crush, isn't it? Both have a different function. Busar bin Abu Rahim Juhani rahimahullah said, praise Allah the Almighty and match your words with actions. You praised Allah for guiding you. You believed in His oneness, as there is none worthy of worship except Him. You believe that He is the greatest and believed in His messenger and prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't die except as Muslims, and do not let anything be more insignificant in your eyes than this world. The world's comforts and treasures come to those who think little of it. Don't be attracted by this world, or else it will run away from you and it will delude you, it will deceive you. Help the religion of Allah and Allah Ta'ala will help you. Asim bin Umar rahimahullah, he said, O Arabs, you are the elite men of your nation and you are going to face the best of the non-Arab nations. You risk your life for the Akhirah while they risk their lives for the pleasures of this world. Don't let them prove themselves to be more committed to their worldly goals than your desire for the hereafter. Don't do something today that will embarrass your nation tomorrow. Rabi bin Bilad Asadi rahimahullah said, O Arabs, fight for this world and the next world. And he recited the ayat-i kareema, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. March forth in the way which leads to forgiveness from your Rabb, and for Jannah as wide as are the heavens and the earth, prepared for the muttaqoon, prepared for the pious people. If shaitan If shaitan makes the matter appear difficult for you, remember those days when you were not even noticeable. In other words, people never even regarded the Arabs as anything. Now Allah Ta'ala has given you respect that even the superpower is calling you to negotiate with you, to talk to you. Allah Ta'ala has now made you a notable force, a world-class army. Before this, you were not even, nobody even worried about you. Rib'i bin Amir said, Allah Ta'ala guided you to Islam and made it the bond between you and increased His favors upon you. There is comfort in sabr, so make yourselves accustomed to sabr. Do not get accustomed to worrying. Sometimes we worry too much. Worry about things too much. That's for ladies. Ladies, they stress. They worry. A mujahid, a person who is a man of Allah, he doesn't stress and worry. Because he knows that Allah Ta'ala is in charge. My work is just to make effort. What the result is going to be, that Allah finished decree. Allah Ta'ala just wants to see my ikhlas, my effort, and He will reward me accordingly. So I just have to worry about that. The end result, all that, that's in Allah Ta'ala's hands. So all the speakers spoke similarly, and this gave the mujahideen extra morale. No, it boosted their morale. It increased their trust and stirred them up for the upcoming task. So, the first day of combat in the Battle of Qadisiyah was known as Armat. It was known as the Day of Armat. This was the name given to the first day of combat at Qadisiyah. So, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu sent a message to his army. He said, stay in your positions and don't move until you have performed the Zuhr Salah. After Salah, when I shout Allahu Akbar, get ready and repeat my cry. When I say Allahu Akbar, you all also say Allahu Akbar. You know these words have never been granted to a nation before you. It has been bestowed upon you to strengthen you. When you hear me cry it out the second time, then you too raise your voices and complete your preparations. In other words, now get ready. When you hear me say it for the third time, ready your horses and your men for duels, meaning combat and chase. On the fourth shout, launch an all-out attack together and penetrate the enemy ranks. And keep reading, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no power or might except with Allah Ta'ala. When Sa'ad radiallahu anhu finished his Zuhr Salah, he ordered a person who was running his errands for him, ordered him, and this person was appointed by Umar radiallahu anhu to Sa'ad radiallahu anhu to assist him. And this person was also knowledgeable regarding Quran Sharif. He knew the Quran also. So he told this young man, He said, recite the chapter on jihad, meaning Suratul Anfal. He recited it to the platoon nearest to him. And eventually this chapter was recited in all the platoons, so that the troops' hearts became tranquil and pacified. When the reciters had finished, now imagine they read the Zohar Namaz, they read Suratul Anfal, and then Sa'ad radiallahu, and then he shouted out, Allahu Akbar. So the people also, they said, Allahu Akbar. And they all came into their battle formations. On the second shout, they were completely ready. Everybody was ready now. On the third takbir, the front line now, they went forward for duels. You say, right, who you want to send for a duel? Right? The enemy was visibly worried. When the Muslim Mujahideen like Ghalib bin Abdullah Asadi, Asim bin Umar Tamimi, Amr bin Ma'di Karib Zabidi, Tuleha bin Khuwairid Asadi, defeated, killed or captured their opponents from the Persians during the duel. So in those days, it was like that. First you go for one-on-one combat, you know, a duel. So you send few of your people, they send few of their people, and they fight. Not like this Jewish people today. They just from the sky, they drop bombs. The Russians, all these armies today, Americans, all cowardly type of fighting. They just drop bombs. They don't bother even who they're killing. Masum children sometimes, sick people, people that are, you know what, not even in combat, nothing. They're just dropping bombs and just killing, demolishing hospitals and all these things. No, before there was honor in fighting also. It was a type of honor, not like these cowards today's time. So in all the duels, the Muslims were victorious in every duel. They either killed the enemy, wounded the enemy, or captured the enemy. And on the other side, not one Muslim was made shaheed. Not one Muslim lost the duel. Right? So now must know, these people are getting worried now, right? It's bad for their morale now, right? So dueling is a complex military art that has only been mastered by soldiers of a very high caliber. It elevates the status and morale of the winning party and dashes that of the vanquished. The early Muslims excelled in this art over their adversaries always. And held, always you'll read, the Muslims in the duels, they were always victorious. So while the Muslims were still waiting for the fourth battle cry, they're waiting for Sa'ad radiallahu anhu now to give the fourth takbir, the commander of the infantry of the Banu Nahad bin Qais bin Hasim bin Jarthuma, he said to his men, O Abu Nahad, rise up. Right? He's telling his men now, stand up. So Khalid bin Urfuta said, by Allah, either you stop or I will replace someone else in your duty. Because you got to wait for Sa'ad al-Nawnu's instruction. At this, he complied. He backed down, complied. Now on the other side, Rustam saw the Muslims gaining upper hand in the duels. So he decided not to let Sa'ad radiallahu anhu attain his planned goals from single combats. He ordered a part of his army to launch a coordinated attack on a part of the Muslim army comprising of the Bujaila tribe and others. The attack was astonishing, since the Persians had used nearly half their army to attack a very small portion of the Muslim troops. So just a small platoon, and they sent half the army to go fight that platoon. This shows their desperation. Right? Now they wanted to wash away their humiliation. They lost every duel. Now they need to win something. Right? So by attacking with 13 elephants, right, just a small flank of the Muslim army, they sent half the army and 13 elephants to go and attack them. Every elephant was accompanied by 4,000 soldiers, infantry and cavalry. Right? The attack was focused just on the Bujela platoon, and the elephants were able to isolate them from the rest of the Muslim army. They cut them off, so the rest of the Muslim army can't even come to their assistance. Sa'd radiallahu anhu was observing Bujaira's situation, and he immediately commanded the Banu Asad brigade to defend the besieged troops. Hence, Tuleha bin Khuwailid and Hammal bin Malik, Ghalib bin Abdullah and Rib'i bin Amr went forward with their platoons. So, Ma'rur bin Suwaid and Shaqiq, they narrate what happened. They say, by Allah, the Banu Asad continued to attack and spray them with arrows with such ferocity that we pushed back the elephants. Their commander came forward and challenged Tuleha to a duel. Tuleha picked up a weapon and finished him off. When the Persians saw what happened to the elephants at the hands of the Banu Sa'd, they started pelting the Muslims with arrows from all sides. Suddenly the Persian commanders, Zulhajib and Janinus, launched a full-scale attack. The Muslims, on the other hand, were still waiting for Sa'd radiallahu anhu's fourth signal, due to which the brunt of the attack was borne by the Banu Asad. Finally, Sa'd radiallahu anhu shouted Allahu Akbar for the fourth time, and the Muslims too advanced with full force. However, the main action was still revolving around the Banu Asad. The elephants attacked the Muslim cavalry from both flanks, which frightened the horses and made them turn back. No animal will look at another animal size. Right? The horsemen had to dismount. The horsemen had to dismount their agitated steeds to push them towards the elephants. So now the horsemen, the cavalry can't use their horses, right? Because the horses are afraid of the elephants. Sa'd radiallahu anhu sent for Asim bin Amr Tamimi and said to him, O men of Tamim, you are experienced with camels and horses. Do you know how to get rid of these elephants now? He replied, yes. He called out to his archers and commandos. He ordered them. Archers fell the men on top of the elephants with arrows. The riders, the ones who are now controlling the elephants, they shoot them. Commandos go back round the animals' rears and cut the belts that holds the saddle on the elephants. This was same like what Musanna had ordered that time, you know. But eventually he became Shaheed also. The girth, what we, when we tacking the horse, the girth, what holds the saddle down. So he said, cut those belts. So now the person on the top can't stay on top of the elephant, right? He's going to fall down. So the men on top come crashing down. The Persian attack was still revolved around the Banu Asad. Asim's men stole, they went behind the animals and cut their saddles, so that there was no elephant left except that it had no saddle. So there's nobody controlling the elephant. The Persians had now lost the advantage of the elephants, and Banu Asad were relieved of the pressure. The Muslims were able to push the enemy back to their original positions, push them right back. Fighting continued unceasingly until after sunset, well into the night. Then the two armies returned to their camps. At the end of the day, the Banu Asad had counted 500 shuhada. Asim and his tribesmen proved to be excellent commandos. Thus, the first day of the battle, the day of Armat, drew to a close. Sa'd radiallahu anhu's order to Banu Asad for extricating the Bujaira from the attack had a profound impact on the tribe. You know, the Banu Asad went to help them. Tudeha said, people are expected to live up to their name. Had our chief felt that another platoon could rescue the besieged troops better than you, he would have selected them. Let the enemy feel your power. Pounce upon them like fierce lions. You have been named Asad, which means lion, so that you may act like one. Attack and do not be repelled. Attack repeatedly and do not flee. May Allah Ta'ala reward the Rabi'ah tribe. They did not flee, protected their comrades, and the enemy could not reach their positions. So do not leave your positions. Allah Ta'ala will suffice you. Attack them in the name of Allah. This speech had a profound effect on lifting the spirits of his platoon, now his people. It gave them the energy to bear the brunt of the Persian attack by themselves. Because the Banu Tamim came later. They were in the brunt of the attack. That day 500 of their mujahideen were martyred. It's not easy. Other units too were emboldened by their display of courage. Ash'ath bin Qais Kindi rahmatullahi alayhi said, O men of Banu Kinda, may Allah Ta'ala reward the Banu Asad. They did not flee. Instead, they cut their attackers to pieces. Hearing this, the men from Banu Kinda changed from their position of defense to attack mode. They attacked the enemy in front of them with such ferocity that they were either killed or pushed back. So there was some poetry also that people composed, etc. Arabs were very, good at composing poetry. The field hospital of the Muslim army was in Usayb. This was a water course 4 miles away from Qadisiyah, where the women related to the troops, the women who were family to the Mujahideen, they had come with them. They didn't travel without their mahrams. Came with them, so they were positioned there to tend to the wounded, etc. They used to receive the injured and take care of their treatment and medical needs. Apart from this, they had another grueling task in which the children would participate. What that was? Digging the kubur for the martyrs. Dig the qabars for the martyrs. Nursing the wounded is something that is natural to women. From small day, the child gets cut, something. But digging graves, this is a difficult task. However, men were preoccupied with jihad, so women had to now rise to this occasion. Indeed, the strength of their iman and patience propelled them to accomplish this mission. The dead bodies were taken to Musharriq Valley between Thuwaib and Shams, Ain Shams, and buried on both sides of the valley. Imagine burying 500 people. When fighting stopped due to nightfall, some troops went and visited their families at the hospital. In the tents of Usayb, Khansa bint Amr, she was a lady and she was good at composing poetry. She was from the Banu Sulaym tribe. She was exhorting her 4 sons to fight the war with valor. She said, you accepted Islam without any compulsion and you left your homes out of your own free will. You know very well the great reward Allah Ta'ala has promised in fighting the infidels. Be mindful, the everlasting hereafter is better than this mortal world. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanusbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wattaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. That, O you who believe, endure and be more patient than your enemy. Guard your territory by stationing army units permanently at the places from where the enemy can attack you. That was the meaning of warabitu, giving an explanation of the word.
and fear Allah so that you may be successful. If Allah Ta'ala permits you to see tomorrow's dawn, go out to fight the enemy keenly. Imagine a mother. Today the mother, if she hears the mujahideen, they must fight. But if somebody say, send your child. No, it's still small now. You got other things to do. But here the mother, she's exhorting her four sons. May Allah Ta'ala make you victorious against your enemies. When the battle intensifies, jump into the thick of it. Don't stay in the sidelines. Go in where it's dangerous. Go into the thick of it and fight with all courage. Success will be your taqdeer. Whether it is war spoils in this world or whether it is reward in the never-ending, everlasting, noble world, the akhirat. Hence, Khansa's sons implemented her will the next morning and set out early to take positions. A lady from the Nakh tribe, she too had four sons who had participated in the day's fighting. In the morning she told them, "You have embraced Islam, so do not waver. You left your homes and made hijrat, but not to Madina Munawara. And you were not forced to leave your homes due to famine or drought." In other words, you didn't leave because you had no food there. "Now you have come here with your old mother and placed her in front of the Persians. By Allah, all of you are the children of the same father, just like your mother is the same. I neither betrayed your father nor broke the trust of my brother. Go and fight from the beginning to the end." Her sons obeyed her and hurried towards the battlefield. When they were out of sight, she raised her hands. She raised her hands towards the sky, making dua to Allah. "O Allah, protect my sons." After fighting valiantly, all her sons returned at the end of the day. None of them were even injured. So this is how these noble ladies were on the first day of the battle. So now you come to the second day of the battle, and this day is called the day of Aghwas. The night after the first day, the vanguard of the reinforcements from Sham arrived. This unit was commanded by Ka'ka bin Amr Tamimi. Actually, Umar radiallahu anh had ordered Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anh. He was in Sham, right? Abu Ubaidah was in Sham. So he ordered him to let the army of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh return to Iraq to reinforce the war effort there. So Abu Ubaidah let that army proceed to Iraq. But he kept Khalid radiallahu anh back. He sent the army, but he kept Khalid because he needed him in Sham. Hashim bin Utbah bin Abi Waqqas was given the overall charge of this force. And Hashim was Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, Radinonu's nephew. This army comprised of 9,000 troops when it came to Iraq on its first tour of duty under the command of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. But now on the second tour, they were only 6,000 strong. Hashim sent Ka'ka ahead of the main body of troops with 1,000 soldiers. Because you need to check the front. Can't put the whole army into an ambush. Ka'ka advanced with lightning speed with his troops so that he was able to meet with Sa'd Nanu's army on the morning of the second day of battle. So this had two wisdoms. One is these people can go and check the road. The other is when you're moving with so many people, you move slower. And those people need reinforcements. So if this 1,000 go away, at least they already have these 1,000 reinforcements by the time the rest of the army comes in the back. So while on the move, he devised a plan to raise the morale of the Muslim troops. He divided his battalion into 10 platoons, comprising of 10 men each. He instructed them to land in the battlefield one platoon at a time. So one
one commander, he'll come with his 100 troops. One commander, so 10 commanders will come with 100 troops. Right?
Then, when it went so far as to become out of sight, the next platoon must come. Right? Kaka himself went with the first platoon. Whenever he turned his head back to see the next platoon dotted against the horizon, he would shout, Allahu Akbar, and the troops would repeat it resoundingly. So this performance reinvigorated the troops at Qadisiyah. Because one was now the whole 1,000 came one time, so you say, hey, alright, we got reinforcement. But now, hey, one reinforcement came. After a couple of, another reinforcement is coming. Another reinforcement is coming. So, see, in war, the state of the mind is very important. So as long as you keep the morale up, it's very, very important thing. So he did this. So now like you think like, hey, 10 armies came to help us. So this proved to be a very successful strategy in boosting the morale of the troops. The addition of 1,000 troops to an army of 30,000 is insignificant. Right? 20,000 came, they got an army of 30,000. Is insignificant. However, this strategy of bringing them in, right, this strengthened the morale of the Muslims. Kaka announced his arrival to the troops at the front lines by saying, had we been in your place there and you had come to our aid, we would have surely envied you and tried to impress you by flying out into the enemy's midst. Now try to match this. Right? Saying this, he stepped forward towards the enemy, and he shouted in a loud voice, right? Who will duel with me? Asking the enemy forces, who's prepared to come fight me? The Muslims said about him what Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to say about him. An army containing the likes of Kaka cannot be defeated. So this increased their confidence now even more. So Zul Hajib, he was one of the commanders there from the Persian side, he accepted the challenge. So Kaka asked him, and who might you be? Asked him, who are you? So he replied very curtly, Bahman Jazve. So this made Kaka recall that it was this general who had been responsible for the calamity which had struck the Muslim army at the Battle of the Bridge. We discussed the Battle of the Bridge before. This was the same person. So when he heard this person's name, he exploded. He said, for the sake of Abu Ubaid, Sulayt, and the men of the bridge. Right? Despite being famed, so he shouted this out. In other words, now I'm coming for you. That's what you did to our brothers there. I'm coming for you now. So despite being famed for his courage, the Persian general's heart shook at Kaka's thunderous voice. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had said, with regards to Kaka's voice, he said, to have Kaka's voice in the army is better than having 1,000 troops. Kaka's voice, you know, what taqwa there must have been behind that voice, that when he spoke it was like thunder, the enemy used to shake. So Kaka did not take long to kill him in front of his own men. This Zul Hajib, Kaka killed him. Now losing a top general who commanded a corps of 20,000 troops, he was a commander, he had 20,000 troops behind him, and
Kaka killed him like a walk in the park, like nothing, like he was nothing. So quickly, just, now this man is supposed to be, you know, so skilled in fighting and have different ways of fighting and all that. But Allah Ta'ala made it in front of Kaka, he was like nothing, like a walk in the park, he just killed him. So this really shook the Persians. Right? And on this side, the confidence of the Muslim army is rising. So Kaka called out again. He said, who's going to face me in a duel? So this time, two officers stepped forward, Barzan and Bandwan. Meanwhile, from the Muslim army, Haris bin Zibyan, who was a relative of Kaka, he came forward. Right? Because now Kaka was alone, and these people, now two of them came. Kaka confronted Barzan and killed him. Haris killed Bandwan. Right? Another important general. Right? So another important general now was killed. Hence Kaka was able to eliminate two out of five of their top commanders at the start of the day's proceedings. No doubt this caused the Persians to become agitated and dismayed. Now the battle started in earnest, and the two cavalries became engrossed in combat. Kaka said to his mujahideen, let them taste your killing swords, and continue doing so with speed until dusk, when you fight right till the evening. Eyewitnesses say that Kaka mounted 30 attacks on that day. Whenever he observed an enemy platoon advancing, he would launch a successful attack. He recited the following poetic verses during his attacks. I mount these raids to harass them, raids which are accurate and bloody. By these I hope to earn many rewards in Jannah. He was reciting this. The last general he killed that day was Bazar Jamhar Hamasani. And he said the following verses on that occasion. I made him pant wildly, quivering like the rays of the sun. On the day of Armat, I will knock out the defeated Persians completely, as long as me and my men are alive. So now normally, sometimes when you hear things like this, you feel like, but now is this not pride? They're talking like this. But in war, it's allowed. In war, it is allowed. You can speak like that, because you need to boost the morale. You can't go in a war and act like one Sufi Sahib now. No, in a war, you have to go and show your strength and your valor, and you can talk things like that. Fair, we'll stop there. Continue with this, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.